Part two, electronic gizmos, gadgets, and unusual devices, tips, tricks, and more. Objectives, the old teacher and me, demonstrate various devices and projects that utilize microcontroller operations and some that do not. This is not all going to be little pickaxe type things. And again, hopefully excite you, give you an opportunity to begin experimenting. Let's talk a little bit about LEDs. LEDs have become a major lighting source in the last few years. They are bright enough to be used as headlights on our model locomotives. Okay, here's an LED. This is just the front end of a little switcher. And I replaced the headlight. And that's an LED. I defy you to come up close to this and stare right at it. That's an LED that's only drawing about maybe 300 mils. Now, it needs a heat sink. And that's the type of LED that they're using for house lighting now and doing things like that. That's about, deal extreme, about $5. If you go locally, like Radio Shack, it's about 20. But look what you can do if you hook it up to a pickaxe. Not bad. It's not a Mars light because it's not rotating, but it sort of looks like one, doesn't it? Okay. So, yes, LEDs are unbelievably bright. This is what's called a Cree, C-R-E-E LED. That's a brand name. C-R-E-E. Cost and power consumption makes them just perfect for model railroad applications. You can light stuff up for almost no power consumption. You can run stuff, as we were discussing at the break, on a 9-volt battery for hours and hours and hours, if not more. Okay. Most LEDs that we come in contact with are either 3 millimeters in diameter, 5 millimeters in diameter, or 10 millimeters in diameter. Let me show you some of those. I was so organized before we started today that I laid everything out. That's a 3 at the bottom, a 5, and those are 2 tens. Now, those are inexpensive LEDs. Those are certainly less than a buck a piece. Unless you go to Radio Shack. Yeah. Pretty bright from the back? Not bad. Not as much as that tree, but again, much less expensive.
The other thing is that a lot of people claim they have ultra-bright LEDs. No, ask them what the millicandle power is.
Yeah.
If some of them are jokes.
Well, these aren't bad.
No, those are good.
These are pretty good. Okay. The Cree LEDs I already mentioned, they can be used for headlight. We did that. Okay, we did that. That's what they look like. They're actually, the LED is here, and this is all heat sink. It's a piece of aluminum. I had to cut it down a little bit to get it into that locomotive. Now, here's some that you may have never seen before. This is what's called a flux LED, F-L-U-X LED. The thing that's cool about this, in order to get the brightness up and the cost down, in one package, and notice it's square, which is unusual, there are 3 LED junctions in the one device. Does that make sense? And I'll show you that. That's a photograph I took through a red filter, and I backed on the voltage, so they barely glowed. Can you see the 3 spots? And can you see the wires? That's what's inside of that LED. I scratch built a Mr. Rogers trolley for Pittsburgh's new Children's Hospital. That's the trolley. And I wanted a bright headlight at either end, and that's what I used. Let me light one of them up for you if I can find it. Here we go. That goes there. This goes here. About 60 mils, I think, if you want real good brightness on it. That's one LED. By the way, I'll cheat here in a second. That's got a current limiting resistor on it. I'm going to push a button. That's without the resistor. That's pretty decent. That's one. And these are, again, about a buck. It depends. You don't need a resistor if you limit the voltage. It'll take 3.7 volts, which is what I'm feeding it. If I want to run it on 5, I absolutely have to have a resistor. And that's, I'm cheating here. If I leave it like that for too long, it'll burn it out. But it gives you an idea of the brightness that's there. Yes?
What's the voltage range on these? Like you just said.
It's published. When you buy them, it'll tell you. This one, I think, is rated at 3.2 through about 3.7. And then if you go much above that, what you'll see is the current really goes crazy, and they'll burn up. No, you have to figure that out yourself. And I've got articles about that, tons of them. The easiest one, put it against your lips. If it's starting to feel warm, get a bigger resistor. I mean, not very scientific, guys, but it works. The lip, yeah. Okay.
Dave?
Yeah. Oh, question, yes.
Did you say that you could run an LED without the resistor?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
You have to make sure, if you exceed its forward voltage, you have to use a current limiting resistor. But if you have a variable power supply, hook it up to an LED and you bring it up real slowly and you'll see that there's a certain point where, like at about 2.2 volts for a red LED and about 2.7 volts for a green LED and a white LED is usually in threes. Yeah, you can do it. I'll show you that in a minute with some other stuff. This is cool. When I built the Mr. Rogers trolley, I wanted to have the headlight on the front and headlight on the back, but when it pulled, it's on a point-to-point. And what happens with track-powered point-to-points at the end? What's the headlight do? It goes off. Did you ever hear of a super cap? A super cap is a super capacitor. Now, this isn't too impressive. I have two of those LEDs, one here and one here. One's on, one's off. But here's what's impressive. These capacitors have a value, I think these are 10 farad. Now, those of you that know what I mean, when I say 10 farad, it's not microfarad, it's 10 farads. It'll keep that lit for a while, but here's the cool part. If it reverses, watch what happens. That's the circuitry, and there's an article on my webpage about how to do that. You want to see that again? Yeah, that's neat. I'm going to turn it over. And just for fun, nothing up my sleeves again, I'll just leave that here. And if somebody yells when it goes out, it's now 6 minutes after five. 6 minutes after five, yeah. Okay, that's called a super cap, and there it is underneath the Mr. Rogers trolley up there at the front. By the way, I have to make an advertisement for Aristocraft. I have tried everything at Children's Hospital. LGB stuff wears out. That Mr. Rogers trolley is based on an egg liner motor block. It has been running every day since May 5th of last year on the same wheels and motor block. Lewis, you're welcome wherever you are. Okay. There's the super caps. Still lit? Yep. And there's the article. And again, all this stuff is linked on my webpage, so if you get to trainelectronics.com, you can find it. Okay, a trick. You asked about using LEDs without resistors. Everybody know about flashing LEDs? I'm not hearing a whole lot of words. If you go to All Electronics, you can buy that. It's about a buck. What's it doing?
Flashing.
Nothing. All I have there is a resistor and a battery. You want a Fred? You're done. Flashing rear end lights.
Question on that.
Boy, you're full of things today.
I am.
Go ahead.
Light's almost out.
Oh, good. Thank you, Bob. Yep. So we went about 4 minutes. Yes.
I bought an electronic device from somebody and hooked it up in my train, and I accidentally put in a flashing LED instead of
yeah.
a regular LED. He claimed that's what burned up the circuit.
That's crazy.
What I thought.
100. Here's the cool thing. One LED, right? What's this? You take one. There's a schematic, by the way, for one battery, resistor, flashing LED. Here's the cool thing. Take four or five more LEDs, wire them in series. Here I have one red, and I have four generic whites. Watch what happens. Now, here's why I have to increase the voltage, because I have to have, I was running that on 3.7 volts. I have to have enough voltage for each LED that's in series to get its own forward voltage. So since I have five LEDs, I'm running this now on 11 volts. It's not going to be real bright either, but watch what happens. Flashes always. Isn't that cool? So if you need to flash white LEDs and you can't find the flashing white, hide the red one. And if you increase the voltage, they'll get much brighter. But again, you have to be careful that the total voltage you're giving it does not exceed the additive forward voltage of all the LEDs. Okay, that's a trick. Told you I'd give you some tricks. That's a trick. Okay, I'm going to start giving you my tips. These are things I've discovered over the years. I don't tell this to anybody. Magnets. And notice this is tip number zero. Everybody knows what rare earth magnets are? One word you use to describe them is expensive. You know, these neodymium, whatever the word is. Yeah. Magnets are used to activate reed switches and for many other things on our railroads. I use them all the time. I use them as couplers on my module because I get real irritated sometimes when stuff doesn't stay together. I just glue a magnet on each end and works like a charm. Okay. Two super sources. How's this one? My buddy's at Deal Extreme again. You get 20 10 millimeter by 1 millimeter for $2.69 delivered. You want to do the math, divide 20 into 269, and then get down to Radio Shack. I'll pass this little box around. The box itself is kind of, I'll just pass the magnets around. There's two different sizes. They sell a bunch of them. But these are good. And, of course, if you need a thicker one, you just stack them together. Keep that away from your credit card. Other one, if you go to kjmagnetics.com, they are not inexpensive. But they have just about any size, type, shape, description of rare earth magnets you could want. They're wonderful. And I'll pass a box of them around along with their business card. And you know what? I am not selling stuff for these companies. These are just things that I have found during my research, and I thought you might be interested in that. I get no kickback. But they're good people. They're the ones that have the article about how close does a magnet have to be to a reed switch that I mentioned earlier. Okay. Here's your tip number one, since we started at zero. Everybody knows what a reed switch is, yes? Put the magnet next to it, the light goes. Take the magnet away, the light goes. Oh, watch. Take the magnet. It fell off. Oh, there it is. Huh. Magnet's high. Bring it up here. Goes off. That's what's called a latching reed switch. They're about as rare as hen's teeth. I found a supplier, if anybody's interested in latching reed switches. You know what these are good for? If you've got lighted passenger cars and you want to run them on batteries, you glue the magnet to the roof of the car and you wave, or not the magnet, the reed switch, and you wave a magnet over it, the light goes on. You run your trains and you wave it again and it goes off. You know how much power it draws when it's off? Zero. And there's an article on my webpage about how to use these things. I'm about it.
Okay.
If you go to eBay and search for latching reed switch, guess who you find?
Okay.
You're welcome to play with them. Okay. I like them. Yes. And by the way, if you find them on eBay, don't buy them from me on eBay. I'll sell them to you cheaper if we don't go through eBay.
Okay.
I already did that. No power when they're off.
That's actually what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I mean, it looks like a regular reed switch. I'm passing one around. It's inch. As all reed switches, it's fragile. Don't get up. You know, you be careful with it. Here's another thing I discovered when I was doing the trolley for Mr. Rogers. It has a clear story on top, and I wanted to light it up with LEDs. The clear story, the light comes out the side. And where do LEDs stick their light? Straight up the top. Here's what I discovered. Most LEDs are focused and project their light in one direction. Many applications want the light to come out the sides. Here's what I did. I took an LED and I put it up against my belt sander and flattened it. Well, that didn't work so well. It kind of screwed it up altogether. Then I said, you know, what if I drilled a hole right in the middle of that thing? And you know how the end of a drill bit is kind of cone-shaped hole? That's what I wound up with. I drilled a hole in the flattened top of an LED. Watch. There's another picture. Look at the difference. One on the left is generic, normal. The one on the right is drilled. And if you put a filter on it, it's even more dramatic. I can show you. I have them. I'll pass them around. I don't think this was unique to me because other people I've seen have done it, but I thought it was very special. And it really worked nicely. There's straight on. The one on top is normal. The one on the bottom is drilled. There's from the side. And you know what? I'll pass this around with the battery so you can have a look at it. These are 10 millimeter. I give stuff to you guys all the time. We'll go over here. All right.
replace the battery real good again.
Oh, trust me, those batteries will be fine. Okay. If you take a drop, this is an acetone or a solvent-based glue. If you put a drop of that glue in the hole, it tends to polish the hole and make it work better. Okay? Also, warm white LEDs. The LEDs I'm passing around, many people think they're pretty gross because they're kind of bluish, harsh. There are also warm white. Take a look at these. How's that look? Better for maybe candlelight or oil light or passenger cars. So if you look on eBay or wherever for warm white LEDs, you will find those. We did that. Oh, I got to show you this. This is cool. More bright LEDs. This is one of my favorite things. Let me turn this on. I am a cyclist. And I made this for my helmet. Front, pretty visible. Not bad. Okay. Notice it's flashing kind of funny. I had a revelation one day. I stole all kind of stuff from my bike. I ride with a bunch of other guys. And I ride in Pittsburgh in the winter. And people ask me questions because I always have a thermometer on the bike. What's the temperature? I get tired of answering them. Watch what happens when this flashes fast. Just give it a second. Oh, count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 0. 70 degrees in here. Cool, huh?
Yeah.
Anybody ever hear of Nuts and Bolts magazine? They bought out Popular Electronics. It's the only print electronics magazine left in the United States. The cover story on this month's Nuts and Bolts. And why would you say when I do this for a Garden Railroad exposition? Did anybody pick up on what this is doing? Watch. Oh, it's going to stop. It's going to sleep. We're going to wait till it wakes up. It takes about 8 seconds. I'll hold it up. Okay, wake up. There he goes. It's going to flicker. Count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 68 degrees. It could easily be cooler here than it was there and I was touching it. This has two solar panels on it. Looks a little bit like a butterfly. It sits in my garden. Runs 24/7. And if I glance out of my den, I can see it at night and I can tell what the temperature is in the garden. Cool, huh? All right. I know, I have much too much spare time. That's my helmet with the LEDs actually fitted into the front of the helmet. And there's the little guy in the garden along with a garden gnome right there. And there's a close-up picture. These are two solar cells. These are batteries, that's the circuit, that's the temperature sensor, and these are the LEDs that are kind of on his little antennae sticking out there. Okay, questions up to there. Time-wise, we're in good shape. Current feeding of LEDs. They're current-driven devices. If you don't limit the current, they will burn themselves up. If you achieve their forward voltage and continue to increase the voltage, they will die. Current limiting resistor is necessary. I wrote probably 3 different articles on how to keep from frying LEDs. If you go to my webpage, this is all LED-related articles. And I talk about how you can figure out, someone asked, what resistor do you need to use? I have the math in there. Nobody wants to do the math. What you do, you touch it to your lips, or you put it on an ammeter and you turn up the voltage until the current is where it's supposed to be. You do that sort of stuff, or you touch it to your lips. But there are many, many articles that I've written over the years that talk about how to keep from killing your LEDs. And that number 104 is the newest of them. Okay, journalelectronics.com. Another tip. We're always looking for ways to connect electrical devices together. for low current use. For example, if you have a locomotive and you have a passenger car and you want to take the power from the locomotive and feed it to the passenger car and from passenger car 1 to passenger car 2 and so on and so forth, these are great little connectors. Let me show you. Glasses. Red, black wires. They only hook together one way. If you put it the wrong way, it won't go. Nice. If you go to places like Radio Shack and things, you can pay a couple bucks a piece for these. Guess where I got them? Deal Extreme. Item number 12-15234. That's the zip code right by my house. They're $2.78 for 10 delivered. I'll pass these around. There's you know, a couple of them soldered together.
Yeah, you can have this side of town.
I know. I was bad. All right. There's a picture. You get 10 pair for $2. I mean, when I saw that, I said, it's got to be junk. Well, go ahead and that's what I've been using on my helmet light for like 2 years. And, you know, I've not broken any yet.
What's the spacing
on? I think it's a tenth. Tenth of an inch. Okay, animation can take many forms. It can add interest and variety to your layout. Surprises visitors. It's great fun. I love to do animation. I mentioned servos. Everybody know what a servo is? Model airplane does the elevator, rudder, ailerons, all that stuff. All that stuff. Yeah. Oh, live steam people. Absolutely. There's a servo. The pickaxe can control a servo directly. If somebody asks how many commands, it's got a servo command. It's wonderful. There you see a servo 90 degrees left. There you see it in the center. There you see it 90 degrees right. That's roughly the range of motion of the servo. It's about 180 degrees. Some a little bit more. There's the schematic. Three wires go to the servo. One is a pin from the pickaxe. The other one is plus five. The other one is ground. That's it. And you can control a servo. Well, once you can control a servo, there's the software. That's a program that will run a servo. There's nothing to it. There's one where I've added a couple of potentiometers that can adjust where it starts and how far it goes. A switch to start it. And I built a circuit board. When we were doing the installation, when I mentioned I did the Mr. Rogers trolley for our new children's hospital, the Pittsburgh Garden Railway Society also built a 12 by 18 layout that goes into the outpatient waiting room, you know, normal thing that people do. We needed so many different types of animation things that I designed a controller that will run a servo, and these little pots that you see right here control where it goes, how far. There's a button that starts it. But what I wanted to show you, we did an outhouse. This was not a children's. That was the botanical garden. But let me show you a couple examples. The outhouse was neat. The outhouse was right next to the track, and we had a reed switch on the track, and when the train went over with a magnet, the outhouse door, it paused about 20 seconds to let the train go by. The door would creak open. There was a sound effect with it, and then somebody would scream, and then the door would slam shut. And that was all done with a servo underneath moving the door. And that worked like a charm for a year or better outside without any difficulty. Next to it, I brought this one. This is fun. We built a prairie dog town. Now, servo, yes? Controller, prairie dog, watch. I don't know if you can see it. Let me put it up here on the light. Is that better? Push the button. Turn it this way. See the little guy? And we have, you can see the little mounds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that was underneath the ground, all this electronics, and when the train went by, it would randomly pop up different prairie dogs. There were five of them. They'd sometimes go up, and sometimes they'd go up and right back down, and sometimes when the train went by, they'd all go down. That's all done by a pickaxe. And we have those at Children's Hospital, too. We've got a whole bunch of them, little prairie dog town that goes up and down. I mentioned a water spout. I animated this for a friend's water tower, and this is, again, a servo. And where did I put the battery? Here we go. Could I slow it down? Absolutely. Could I change where it goes? Absolutely. Works like a charm. Okay. Questions? All right, we're not done yet. More animation. This is one of my favorites. When we did the Children's Hospital layout, we decided we were going to make people and do all the houses and stuff. And one of our artsy people said, you know, there's these Playmobil people that are about the same size as G-scale, sort of. And we got the whole circus and the zoo and all the other stuff. This is an elephant. Playmobil elephant. Well, if you crack him open, there's a microservo inside. Microservo is like a servo, but it's micro. That's a microservo. Bob, you want to start that? Geez.
He broke it.
Here's the cool thing here. Let me get the battery. Thank you. That one's dead, by the way. They're good for about 6 months. We have two elephants. That's why I have one, because this is the backup. And we have to replace them because they just wear out. Those micro servers are not meant. But watch. And I do not have this one quite synchronized. It's just a test board. Let him wake up here in a minute. Stop it. You done? Are you done? Okay. Ready? Kids love it. Now, and I'll talk more about the sound effects in a minute, but this is all, I mean, there's animations all over this layout, and the kids just love to watch the elephant doing stuff and the prairie dogs, and we've got spinning little carousels and so on and so forth. But that's done with Playmobil, and it's not all that difficult. It's just a little bit of linkage to the trunk and putting a little horn on the trunk so that it'll move up and down. It works like a charm. But as I said, get two of them because they break. A little bit of science. If you give a pendulum a push each time it gets to the bottom of its arc, it'll swing and swing with very little effort. As you know, if somebody's swinging on a swing, you don't have to push them real hard to keep them going. There's been a lot of articles on the internet, and there was an article in Nuts and Bolts a year or so ago, and I got fascinated with it. The circuit to make this thing do what it's doing. I'm going to stop it because it's time to stop. I'm going to pull the battery. I'm going to plug it back in again. There's almost nothing to this circuit. There's a coil that you have to wind by hand, but I've got an article in there that shows you how to wind it. It's not that difficult. You can get the wire on eBay. You can get anything on eBay. Parts. Two transistors, an LED, a diode, two resistors, a coil, and two AA cells. And by the way, yes, that will do a 360 shortly. And a strong magnet. I made about 10 of these things. I thought it was just great fun. And they run in my house all the time. It makes people coming into the house think I'm nuts. But there's the ugly one that you see sitting over here. The prototype is not much to look at, but works well. How's that? That there's a variation of that made with Playmobil people running at Children's. And when the kids push a button, it starts up. It goes through a little routine. I've actually got it programmed. I cheated and used a pickaxe in it. But it'll spin a little bit and stop, and then she'll do this, and it'll stop. And they just absolutely love it. And that's been working for, I think I put that in January. So what's this, August? 8 months? Great fun. Not difficult to do. And I've got that all written up, how to do it on my webpage. Swap out the boring pendulum for a gymnast and you have an animated circus performer. One's performing daily at Children's Hospital. Okay. More connectors. If you need low current connectors, those guys that are coming around are superb. If you need high current connectors, these are good for like 8 or 10 amps. A lot of radio control people use these. I'll pass these around. Guess where I got them? High current for track and battery connections, part number 10788. They're expensive. $626 for 10 pair, including shipping. And, oh, by the way, I found some other websites selling them radio control, hobbyist-type websites, for $329 a pair. When I say each, I mean, you know, male and female. That's what you get from Deal Extreme. They even give you the heat shrink tubing. And you're welcome to, you know, I'll pass a couple of these that are, like, wired to get you. These are excellent. We use these. If you look at the, how many of you know what free mode is? Modular, HO, standard. They want you to use a particular type of connector when you're putting your modules together, and they were since Jones expensive connectors. We settled on these, they're absolutely wonderful. You can pass those around. And you're welcome to go to the bottom and look at what comes. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. All right. Those are high current connectors. Cool. Question, yes.
He will.
So. Oh, he will. No, he's not allowed. He's used them up.
I promise I won't have.
Okay. More animation. How about an animation without movement, just sound and light? When we did a layout, we being the Garden Railway Society for a botanical garden in Pittsburgh, we did a mine, a gold mine. And when the train went by, again, it paused about 15 or 20 seconds, and then an audio track, well, it did this. You ready? You got to picture this guy who's standing next to the mine doing this.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait a minute. That won't work. I'll turn this on. Ready.
Clear the area. Blasting in 10 seconds.
So he did that, and then paused 10 seconds.
Fire in the hole.
And I have to tell you, for this next part, and again, this is written up on my webpage. Everybody knows what disposable cameras are. There's a flash in there. You can take them out and repurpose them. Just be careful because there's a 400-volt capacitor in there that will ruin your day. Inside of the mine is the flash unit from a disposable camera, and here's the audio that goes with it. Kids loved it, and there was not a single bit of movement involved. We had a real big speaker and a real powerful amplifier in that little house next to the mine. And there's a demonstration version here that I'm going to skip over because the audio is not as good as what I get out of that one. But you can also see the flash unit kind of over here in the corner that's coming through that. But animation without movement. Now, as far as how do you get that? Another discovery. I'm a sound freak. I love sound. But it's expensive. This unit here plays 8 different sounds. Let me play you some other stuff. We use this in a lot of our club layouts. This is one I designed and built. But the device that I'm using, controlling, these are MP3 files. We did a circus layout last year. And then we have this set up on a radio control with 8 buttons so we can choose the sound. And if a child reaches over the fence and tries to get too close to the trains, it does this. Anyway, that's expensive. That cost me about $100 to build, which ain't cheap. But the capability is phenomenal. I mean, it's really good quality sound going through really cheesy speakers. This guy, this is $11. I'm using 10 of these at Children's. Listen, this is off of this little cart. It's not very loud. But if you cut the wires and feed it into this, you get phenomenal sound. $11. And if you look carefully, I'll pass this around, and if you push the button once, it starts, and push it again, it'll stop. So if it's driving the people next to you crazy, you can do that. And that's the sound coming out of this lousy little speaker. When it goes around, what's that?
USB.
You plug this into your computer, and there's free software that you can download from this guy's website. It's Electronics 123. And put your sounds on. 50 seconds of good sound, 25 seconds of really good sound. $11.
MP3.
But I have a whole series of articles on sound on my webpage, and I take you through step-by-step how to convert waves to MP3s. You use a free program called Audacity, which is superb. That's the fancy MP3 player that actually uses a memory stick with MP3 files. There's the one I was talking about, the $11. Plugs directly into USB ports. MP3s, $11. There's another picture of it. 50 seconds. I already said all this stuff. He wasn't listening. Oh, easily triggered by push button, read switches, radio control. The Revolution will trigger it, by the way, directly. It will trigger from a pickaxe. I mean, it's very, very easy to work with. I'm experimenting right now with two other MP3 systems. The first one will do anywhere from 3 to 8 different sounds. Very high quality. Can be triggered from just about anything. There's a picture of it. And there's another one that I just discovered a week ago that uses a micro SD card, which is the size of my little fingernail. Can be up, you know, a couple gig, and it'll do MP3 files, and Pickaxe talks directly to it. So you can have the Pickaxe deciding what music to play or what sound effects to play or whatever. I guess some specifics about that, micro SD. And I put a note there, there are advantages and disadvantages to each of these. Drop me a note if I can help with animation or sound, because I honestly think I've got a pretty good handle on what's available right now. I deal with some Chinese companies directly and get pretty decent prices on some of this stuff. Okay, another tip. I still got 10 minutes before I should shut up. I'm also a glue freak. Yeah. I'm also a rubber band freak. Does everybody know you don't use cheap rubber bands? What do you use? If you're a model airplane guy, you use the airplane rubber bands they use to hold the wings on. They're super because do you want your wing falling off? Yeah. Anyway, glue. This stuff. If you have never used this, you're in for a treat. Go to Michael's. Is it Michael's or Joanne that's at Village Square? Is that Michael's?
Michael's?
I think it's Michael's. Michael's at Craft Place. Yeah. These are called glue dots. And I'll pass this around. You're welcome to rip one off. When you get a credit card in the mail, you know that stuff that holds the credit card to the cardboard?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like boogers?
Yeah.
This is permanent boogers. And it is, I always fold this in half. And then, you know when you're taking a locomotive apart and the wires all go sprawling out the sides and you can't get them to stay? You take this stuff and stick it, and the wires stay. It's wonderful. I use it for tons of stuff. Trust me, you'll love it. Pass that around. No, they're called, yeah, go to Michael's and say, I want a box of boogers. That'd be great. Quadner said that's what you want. Okay, here's what they are. I use it in place of hot melt glue because there's no waiting. They're called glue dots, and what you want to look for are permanent, purple. It's a purple box because they have ones that aren't permanent, and I don't like those. Those are for crafting people that want to put a piece of paper on or something. But these I like much better. And when I say they're permanent, you can get them loose. I also use these to hold the magnets to the bottom of the trains. And yeah, you don't have to wait for the hot melt glue guy to heat up, and you don't have to let the glue cool, and don't burn your fingers. Okay. Michaels, don't forget your 40% off coupon in the Sunday paper every week. Okay. Timers. When you do animations, they generally don't run forever. You don't want the trains at something like Children's Hospital or an exposition to run forever. You want it to be finite. There are many commercial units available. Here's one that we use. If you need a heavy-duty, last-forever industrial timer, this is from a company called Omron, O-M-R-O-N, and it's an H3CA. It's about $100. It's a digital timer. And when you push a button, you can set, there's little buttons on here, you can set how many seconds, anywhere from, I think, 1 second to a couple of days. Very accurate, works like a charm, but $100. You can get them on eBay used for less than that, but if you go to Allied or one of those places. Other devices, you get a lot less. Yeah,
okay.
Pass that around. When we went to look at children's, there's the device. It's got a nice little display, and it shows you how much time's left, and you can see this is set for 40 seconds. It's really nice. But we needed so many timers. Well, let me digress for a minute. I used that one. We did a Christmas display in beautiful downtown Franklin, Pennsylvania, at a music museum. We put the trains in the big window out in front, and we wanted it to run for like a minute, so we put a radio control transmitter in a box out in front, because they wouldn't let us throw a whole window. And we put a receiver inside hooked up to this thing. And trains would run for 60 seconds, and if we pushed the button again, it would run day and night. It didn't matter. It was a nice solution for that. So that's what I used that for. But we needed so many timers at Children's Hospital that I designed my own. That's a Pickaxe. And if you take a look at the parts, there's a relay. That's all you really need to have the timer. It makes the relay on or off. It's got a pot to adjust the time. It's got some LEDs to tell you how much time is left, and there's the Pickaxe. Okay. Soldering, another tip. How many are solderers? How many are good solderers? How many would like to be better? How many have a really good iron? If you don't, how many have a digital soldering station? Oh, only one!
Yeah, figures it's you.
All right. Marlon P. Jones, they're in Florida. I buy a lot of stuff from them. This soldering station, there's the part number, $46.95, plus shipping. This is not free shipping from China. It's terrific. It's digital Fahrenheit or Celsius. I set mine to 520 degrees Fahrenheit and leave it there. Digital temperature readout. The replacement handle, this is what you burn out. That's where the heating is. $7. And I think I have down here the tips are $2. It's wonderful. If you don't have a good iron, you can't be a good solderer. If you're using one of those 99-cent things from the dollar store or the $3.99 from Radio Shack, throw it away and get a decent soldering iron. The other thing, notice what's on top of this. You know what this is? That's a sponge. Take that and throw it away. This is what you want. This is tip 5B. I don't know what this stuff is. I think it's spun aluminum. I'll pass it around. You got a little cup that this is in. Dry. You plunge your tip into this and pull it out and shiny. And a little bit of solder fall to the bottom of the cup. Guess where I got that? Deal Extreme. Part number 34154 with the base, $6.03. Much better than a wet sponge. Okay. I'm going to do a little bit on sensors and then I'm going to stop. I've worked with many different sensors for years and years and years. There are many articles on my webpage about sensors, but I came up with a new one. I have an HO module. Let me show you. That's my module. It's 8 feet long. It's actually two sections. And I have a main line. There's the main line. You can see it kind of curves here. And that's connected to everybody else's module. And I have a mining line. It's all switchbacks. It goes up here and switchbacks. It goes up here and switches, climbing a mountain. Well, what happens there?
Another train comes.
Bad things happen. So the first thing I did is I put some sensors. I put a laser here and a laser down there. And when the laser beam was broken, and someone asked about phototransistors a while ago. That's what I use as a phototransistor and a little laser, and I'll talk more about the lasers in a second. When the train broke the beam, I knew I had to stop the mining train when it got to the crossing. And when it hit the second beam, it released it. Actually, when it cleared the second one. The problem is, some of my smart aleck buddies would pull their train in this way and then back it the whole way around the module and come in the other side and would have a wreck. Yeah. So what I came up with, this is the main line, right? I'm shooting a laser the whole way down the main line. If it gets blocked, there's a train there. Don't go to the crossing. But the cool part, the only problem with, okay, I'm gonna ad-lib this stuff because it's faster. Here's the laser. This was one of my, this is also from Deal Extreme, big surprise. This laser, I don't want to shine it at your eyeballs, I'll put it above your head. That's about $4. And it's tiny. It's about 20 millimeters long and about 9 millimeters in diameter. And it'll run day and night. Works beautifully. And the first thing I did with it was this right here. So I've got the laser. Can you see the laser? Hitting a phototransistor, and can you see what happens when it? No big deal. What's the ugly? Boy, if you got a big red dot on there, I didn't like that particularly. So I came up with another idea. Let me show you this. This is pretty cool. This may be unique, David stuff. Same thing. And you can see the LED or the laser up there. What I decided to do, well, since I've got control of the laser with the microcontroller, I said, well, why can't I just flash the laser like for a tenth of a second and then turn it off and check? And I wasn't sure if the sensor would detect it. To make a long story short, I kept flashing this laser for briefer and briefer time periods. 1/10 of a second, 1/100 of a second, 1/1000 of a second, 1/10000 of a second, it still detected it. I got to a microsecond, which is 1/1000 of a second, it still worked. This is pretty cool. Can you see the laser? I'm going to push this button, and you know, right? Can you see the laser anymore?
No, barely see it.
Yeah, it's still there. It still works. That is pulsing 1/1000000th of a second on and about 1/10 of a second off, and it still works. You can't see it on the train, trust me. If I darkened the room, you'd be able to tell it was there on a white piece of paper as it is. But and what I did is I put a button on here so that it's a full brightness for aiming. And then once you get it aimed, because it'd be an absolute bear to aim it. Okay? That's my latest sensor thing. And that one hasn't been written up yet because that might wind up in nuts and bolts. But I thought you might enjoy seeing new stuff. Okay, let me continue. And that's all that stuff. I did that, 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 did that. 1/1000000th of a second, still okay, did that, did that. Did that. There's the software. Okay. I'm going to finish up by saying my philosophy is simple. It's more fun to make it yourself than to buy it ready to go. I always look at stuff and say, gee, that's really neat, but can I do it myself rather than paying somebody? And before you say you can't do it, I found this quote from Pablo Picasso. I love it. I don't know how to do half of this stuff when I start. Maybe 90%. But I'm not afraid to fail. My buddy Bob's here from Pittsburgh. I mean, we talk about stuff I screw up more than I do it right. But how do you learn if you don't screw up? Try it, you'll learn. Questions? I did okay, time-wise, yes.
That timer thing, I got to go back to this.
Yes.
I've got to build one. Show the timer.
That's all written up on the webpage, but yes.
Okay. The part numbers and all
that. Everything, yep.
How do you need that short time interval?
I had to switch to a different chip. I used not a pickaxe. Pickaxe won't go to a microsecond, but a pick will, which is the microchip device, but it will. The pickaxe is not fast enough.
Does the pick add more memory also?
Yes. Yeah, I do a lot of my work with picks, which is the father chip, if you will, to the pickaxe. Yes?
Do you recommend a way to use
would I use LEDs instead of grain and wheat bulbs? Yes, they draw less power and they're brighter. Well, you can dim LEDs by putting a bigger resistor in. And those warm white ones are very close to the color of the grain and wheat bulbs. And LEDs will not burn out if you treat them right. 10,000 hours. Yes, 100,000.
What about the good source for servos,
like
cheap source?
Tower Hobbies. Micro servos, eBay.
Servo City.
Servo City. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop it.
Yep.
In order to let the next person come in and get ready. So thank you, James.
Thank you.
You probably hear from me on email.